cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Mark 4:19. I am Rob West. Jesus' warning in the parable of the sower teaches that the love of money makes us useless to the kingdom of God. I'll talk about that today and how to avoid it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, scholars have looked at the New Testament and concluded that Jesus talked about money second only to the kingdom of God. So it's not surprising that the subject of money and possessions is so prevalent in his parables. Not everyone agrees on the exact number of parables in the Gospels because definitions of what constitutes a parable differ, but 40 is probably a safe number. So of those 40, nearly half directly address money. Think of the pearl of great price, the lost coin, the silver talents, and of course, the parable of the sower in Mark 4. In that parable, Jesus talks about four kinds of soil where the sower casts his seed. Let's look at each of them and what they mean. In verses 3 and 4, we read, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." The hard soil in this passage is usually seen to represent someone who is hardened by sin. He hears the word but doesn't understand it. It sits on the surface and becomes bird food. The birds, of course, are usually seen to represent Satan, plucking away those lost in sin. Then in verses 5 through 7, Jesus says, "Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away." Here, the stony soil represents someone who at first seems to take great delight in hearing God's word, but his heart doesn't follow along. He has no foundation, so when trouble or hardships come along, well, he loses his faith. Hardship, of course, can be many things, but very often it takes the form of financial difficulty. It could be a job loss, a business failure, or in so many cases, debt. Without a firm foundation in God's word, particularly God's financial principles, what seemed to be rock-solid faith disappears in the rocky soil. Okay, now we come to the third soil, and this is the one we're really taking a hard look at. In Mark 4:7, Jesus says, "Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain." At this point, we might not think Jesus is talking about finances, but several verses later, he goes into more depth about each type of soil. In verses 18 and 19, he addresses the third soil, saying, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." So there's no question that Jesus is talking about the danger of loving money more than God. The gospel is choked out not only by the worries of this life, and more specifically, by the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things. The warning is that achieving great financial success can be just as dangerous, if not more so, than having financial difficulties. That's because when we acquire wealth, our sin nature makes us want to believe that we did it all on our own, that we didn't need God. So while we may have great wealth, there's no fruit. We're proven unfaithful. There's nothing wrong with acquiring wealth. Money itself is neither good nor bad. More on that in a minute. Now, you can avoid becoming any of these first three soils by being the fourth. Jesus describes it in verse 20, saying, "But those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." We want to bear fruit in all of our Christian walk, but we should pay particular attention to our finances because Jesus did so in this parable. We have to remember that God owns everything and that He is sovereign. He's provided us with everything, our skills and other resources to produce wealth. We have to remain grateful and generous with those resources. The more generous we are, the less of a stranglehold finances will have on us. And as we've said before, it's counterintuitive, but giving breaks the hold of materialism. Now, as I said, there's nothing wrong with wealth. It's about how we manage it. God often gives us more than we need so we can be generous. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil," emphasis on love. The Bible never calls money itself evil. All right, your calls are next. We'll be right back. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There are two Exodus stories that frame the entire Bible and help us as Christians understand just how significant Christ is. The first is obvious. Israel was rescued from their oppression with the strong hand of the Lord, who brought them out and crushed their enemy. The Exodus through the Red Sea shows us the Lord of life. And the second? Christ's exodus from Israel. You heard me. King Herod was looking to kill him, but the Lord brought him out. He sent a dream to Joseph and sent them to none other than Egypt. A strong arm protected baby Jesus until the time was right. When it was time, he came back to Jerusalem to save the world. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This week, the countdown to Christmas begins. How will you celebrate the Savior this year? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress presents a brand new selection of special Christmas messages and music to help prepare our hearts for Christmas. You can imagine what it would have been like to witness Christ's miraculous birth when you listen this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. It's time to turn the corner and take your questions today. Anything financial is appropriate. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, and we're ready to hear from you today at 800-525-7000. In addition to your phone calls today on anything financial, we'll tackle a couple of listener emails. That's right. You can email us to have your question read on the air at questions@moneywise.org. Again, that's questions@moneywise.org. We get as many of them on the air as we can, and we'd love to hear from you. Send those along. Today, we'll also tackle teaching kids generosity at Christmas. What are some ideas for how you can take advantage of this exciting season as we celebrate the birth of Christ and talk about the gift that Jesus is to the world and use that as a way to talk about really what it looks like to be generous as God's people, and specifically, how do you impart that to your kids? I'll weigh in on that a little later in the broadcast. And again, we're taking your questions and comments today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we head to the phones, let me remind you, here in December, as we press ever so fervently toward year end, this is a great time for you to consider a gift to MoneyWise Media. If you're a part of our MoneyWise family, you listen to this program with regularity, perhaps you're using the MoneyWise app, like now more than 37,000 of you are. We're so excited about that. And you're frequently visiting the website and you'd like to support this work. We'd certainly be grateful as we press toward year end and try to solve for our end of year goal. We're on our way to 250,000, 80,000 already in the door. So still a hill to climb, but we're confident God's people will respond. And so if you'd like to make a gift to the ministry, we would certainly be grateful. You can head to our website, moneywise.org. Just click Give Now at the top of the page, and any amount will help. And I'm serious about that. Whether you give one time or as a monthly patron, again, we would just be grateful for your support beyond your giving to your local church. Again, moneywise.org. Click Give Now at the top of the page, and thanks in advance. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call for your questions today. Let's tackle an email. This one comes to us from Abby. She writes, "We're newlyweds. We leased a car through our bank. We owe $16,000, and the payments are $430 a month. We can't find anyone to take over the payments. We'd rather use the money to save for a house. If we return the car to the dealer, would that show up on our credit report? Is there a better option to get out of the lease?" And Abby, I appreciate this question so much, you know, especially as we're just starting out in marriage. A lot of times we're making some decisions financially that we'll learn from, and perhaps we wish we would have done differently, and taking on an expensive car lease certainly can be one of those. I can understand how you'd want to use that money to save for a house, and unfortunately with a leased car, it doesn't give you the opportunity, unless you buy it at the end, to go ahead and pay it off in full and then drive it for a long, long time and free up that money to either save for your next car or, in your case, save for that down payment on the house. So I can understand why you might want to get out of that and get into a used car, perhaps 4 or 5 years old, but that's still reliable and maybe can save you some money. Unfortunately, none of the options are good on what you're trying to do. Returning the car and breaking the lease by itself doesn't affect your credit report and ultimately your credit score, to your question. That is assuming, though, that you make all of the necessary payments at that time. If you don't, it will absolutely severely impact your credit score in a negative way. And that means, in terms of the necessary payments, that means you pay the early termination fee, which is usually the total amount you would have paid during the lease, which kind of negates the whole purpose of this, minus what you've already paid. So that's a pile of money. So what are your other options? Well, option number one is to transfer the lease to someone else, which you mentioned you've been unable to do. A few comments on that option. First of all, if you were to do that, you need to make sure that the lessor permits it. They don't always. And so you need to make sure that you contact the lessor to ensure that you even have the option to make this transfer. The other thing you need to consider is whether they're going to allow you to get out from under it, or whether you will, in effect, become a co-signer, which is something I would discourage you highly from doing, because if they don't make the payments on time, you would have to step in, or that would affect your credit negatively. Keep in mind, there are some downsides for the person potentially taking this on. Number one, you know, they have mileage limits, so depending on what's left, they would have to factor that in. And then there are turn-in fees, so they're going to want to know what that is at the end of the day. But if you could find somebody to take it on, your lessor permits it, and they qualify on their own, and the lessor would allow you out in terms of responsibility, that would obviously be ideal. There are a number of online solutions that you can look for where folks make these lease transfers available, and so you may want to check check that out to see if you can find something. But I'd place a call to your to the lessor first, just to find out what options you have. The second, of course, is you just you know, keep this, continue making the lease payments, and chalk it up to experience and learn from it the next time around. You could, of course, buy the car outright from the dealer. That's going to leave you with monthly payments if you can't pay the full amount in cash, though, so that really doesn't solve anything. So I understand this is a challenging one, and unfortunately, there's not a perfect solution here, so I would say probably your best option is just to stick with it, and what you will learn from it, I think, will be invaluable down the road. Next time around, let's buy a newer used car, perhaps in this environment with used car prices so high, maybe one a little older than you might have previously. Instead of 2 to 3 years old, maybe 4 to 5. Thanks so much for writing to us. If you have a question for us, we'd love to hear from you. questions@moneywise.org is how you email us. To call, it's 800-525-7000. Let's head to the phones. We'll begin today in North Carolina. Richard, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a question about the Bitcoin thing, the cryptocurrency thing. Is that a good thing now, or is it a bad thing now?
Well, and when you ask, is it a good or a bad thing, are you talking about whether it's a good thing that it's used as a currency, or are you talking about as an investment, Richard?
As an investment, sir.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch it. You know, Bitcoin obviously is the largest of the cryptos. The idea is that it's a peer-to-peer currency outside of the control of any government. There's a fixed cap of 21 million Bitcoins that can ever be produced. And I think the technology behind it is here to stay, especially because we've seen a breakdown of trust in centralized institutions everywhere in society, and whether it's a mistrust of the Fed and what they're doing with our money, or global health institutions, or big tech companies, the appeal of these is huge. And that's why I think we've seen such a rise in this, and it's here to stay. I don't think it's going anywhere. But in terms of an investment, it's highly speculative. I would put it really in more of the speculation category than an investment category. It's highly volatile, and we've seen that certainly this year with the major sell-off, and that may be why you're asking whether at this point it makes sense. But there's still a large number of risks in terms of which ones are going to fail and which ones aren't. Government regulation is still a question, and for those reasons and others, I'd stay far away from it as an investment. Thanks for your call, Richard. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise Live. You know, just before the break, we were talking about cryptocurrency, and this really gets us into a get-rich-quick mentality in many cases. I'm not saying that was the motivation of our previous caller, but oftentimes we can get swept up into that mentality with something that seems like it has the prospect for massive growth. Larry Burkett once weighed in on this thinking, and he said, get-rich-quick leads to three basic errors. Number one, getting involved with things you cannot understand. I would add to that, if you can't explain it to your mom, you probably don't want to invest in it. Number two, risking funds you cannot afford to lose. And in many cases, these are borrowed funds, which makes that even worse. And then number three, making hasty decisions. And each of these really violates one or more of our biblical principles that we look to around money management. And together, I think, really constitute the sin of greed. So I think we have to be very careful with the temptation to take a shortcut to riches, because it's powerful, and make sure we keep our investing in the category that the Bible describes, steady plotting, which is really a sure and steady long-term perspective on investing that will keep us out of a lot of difficult situations. So hopefully that's helpful to you today. We're going to head back to the phones in just a moment. We've got some lines open today for whatever is on your mind, financially speaking. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and we'd love to get your question on the air. Again, 800-525-7000. Quickly, I mentioned in the last segment a bit about the MoneyWise app, and we're so thankful that so many of you are spreading the word about the MoneyWise app. We've had a huge increase in the last few weeks of people signing up to manage their finances using the MoneyWise app, perhaps as we head toward a new year and folks want to push the reset button in a lot of areas of their lives. That includes their desire to get on top of their finances, especially in the monthly family budget. And the MoneyWise app is, in my opinion, the very best way to do that. More than 37,000 of you are now using it as your digital envelope system. You're participating in our community forums. You're engaging in our virtual workshops. Our team is ready to come alongside you to help you set up your budget and use the app effectively. In addition to managing all of your accounts in one place, the MoneyWise app can really help you stay more disciplined in spending money wisely, which is more important now than ever in light of 40-year high inflation. I would also say you have the ability to choose from one of three options for managing money, depending on your management style, which a lot of folks are really finding helpful. On one end of the spectrum is somebody who just wants to be hands-off and directional. There's a management style for you in there. And then there's an option all the way to our digital envelope system, where envelopes get funded out of every paycheck. Transactions automatically come into each envelope appropriately. And then at any point, you can see exactly what's left digitally in the beautiful interface in each envelope, so you can stop spending when the time comes during the month. If you want to check it out, we'd love for you to do that. It's available on desktop and mobile. Just head to moneywise.org and click app to get started. That's moneywise.org. Just click app. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. 800-525-7000 to North Carolina we go. Hi, Lisa. You're our next caller. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm kind of in a bind.
Okay. We'll see if I can help.
All right. So my ex-husband and I, we refinanced our home with the intention of doing upgrades to it during this historically hot market. We have since been divorced. We are both on the mortgage. In our divorce decree, it states that he is financially responsible for everything for the home. And now he is 45 days late on paying the mortgage. And the way I found that out was my credit dropped about 80 points. And it said it was due to the mortgage. And I have spoken with him, and he does not want to sell. What are my recourses as far as repairing my credit or giving him some incentive to sell? I'm so afraid that next year this whole housing market is going to crash and we're going to be in a recession and we won't be able to sell it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is a tough situation, Lisa, as you already know. And unfortunately, there's not a great option here. You know, when there's a divorce and both spouses are on the mortgage, both remain legally responsible for paying the creditor, even if the court says he's the responsible party. So that means if you and the court agree that your ex should take over the mortgage payments, the creditor can still come after you to collect, which also means, and that you're experiencing this, if he misses a payment or doesn't pay at all, your credit will be affected by that, and you could even be named in a foreclosure action if it came to that. Now, hopefully it won't come to that. So I think it's just critical that you impress upon him the importance of staying current on this, because, you know, it's going to affect you as well, and he needs to realize that. Is he just, you know, was there an unusual situation that led to this? Is this a pattern? What do you think's going on here?
Well, he said that he was changing jobs and didn't have a paycheck for 45 days. Changing jobs has been a pattern for him. He's had about 9 jobs in like the past 6 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's obviously a difficult situation. I mean, hopefully it's an isolated event. Obviously, this is going to trash his credit too, which he's not going to want. He certainly doesn't want to lose the house, and that would eventually happen, you know, for non-payment. There would be foreclosure action, and then he would lose the value of this asset. So hopefully he will resume payments. And is the mortgage current at this point? Has he said he's going to be able to resume payments, you know, right away?
It is current. He went ahead and paid the back payments that were due, and he's currently. But I just wanted to know if there's any way I would either be notified if he didn't pay the mortgage so that I could pay it, because he is unwilling to tell me whether he's paying it or not.
Well, you're still on the mortgage, so you should be able to log in and access the information and monitor that payment. You could even call the lender and ask them to notify you or set up an alert automatically when the payment is late. Stay on the line. We'll talk more off the air. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, "An inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away."
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry's president of Boyer Research. He weighs in each Friday on the markets and the economic situation. It'll be interesting to get Jerry's take today, especially in light of the jobs report that was just out. Payrolls and wages blew past expectations, which you would think would be a good thing. Unfortunately, that flies in the face of the Fed rate hikes that we thought might be softening. Federal Reserve Chairman Powell said expect to see slower or lower rate hikes than we've seen to this point. But obviously, any kind of strength in the economy, as evidenced by payroll and wages, tends to perhaps derail some of that slowing. We'll get Jerry's thoughts on that a little later in the broadcast. Also, room for a few more questions from you today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas, Houston to be specific. Tina, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for talking to me.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask what long-term plans we should have financially, because this ping pong politics we've been playing for years with Republicans, Democrats, and every time they go and destroy what was good from the previous and they initiate new stuff, we can't run a government like that. We need to be able to support the previous good choices of the government, and financially we need to start thinking, okay, selling houses is not a good idea in my opinion, because that's the only investment that can weather the change of policies in the government and presidents, because you have a house, you can't pay for it, you could always lease it, and you have a good interest rate, you can lease it. It changes with the economy. If the interest go up, you're going to be able to make more of a profit. If it goes down, you can fluctuate the amount of rent. But we got to start thinking long term, more than the next 4 years. Yeah. Because we're just, everything that my husband and I work for, it is little by little being chipped away. The only things that haven't are our real estate investments.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt about that, Tina. Well, I certainly appreciate what you're saying, and I concur. You know, at the end of the day, the answer is to vote. We need to show up at the ballot box. Policy matters, and we need to make sure our elected officials understand really the founding of this nation and why the founders did what they did with the Constitution, and the fact that God's word speaks to economic activity and productivity, that we were created to be productive in the image of God as workers. occurs, and there's a virtuous cycle of productivity that leads to an expansion in wealth for the purpose of what? Not to enrich ourselves, but for generosity and to be about God's activity and meeting the needs of the world, and that biblical principles apply to individuals, but they also apply to nations. You know, this reminds me of the story of my good friend Ron Blue, the author and teacher. He's one of my mentors. Ron was testifying before a Senate subcommittee on low-income Americans, and they said to him, Ron, what would you tell the average low-income American about how they should handle their money? And he said, well, I'd say four things. I'd say they need to live within their means, they need to avoid debt, they need to have some margin or some liquidity in their financial lives after the bills are paid, and they need to set long-term goals. And the senator who chaired the committee pulled out his pen and started writing those down. And he said, you know, Ron, it strikes me that this would work for any income or any American at any income level. And Ron replied to the senator and he said, you're right, Senator, including the United States government. And I think the idea is that these principles that we find rooted in God's word apply to nations. And when we violate them as an individual or as a nation, then we have to bear the consequences of that. And we're certainly seeing that right now with the sky-high debt that is just continuing to climb ever so rapidly in this country. And all of that is going to come to roost. And it's going to only be changed through policymakers that understand God's word, that understand these principles, and that can apply them in the context of how we handle money and our fiscal policy and our budgeting process here as a nation. So it's important that we show up at the ballot box because there's a lot at stake. And so I appreciate you asking the question, Tina, and being a part of the program. God bless you. Let's head to North Dakota. Tom, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
The question I have has to do with when you own a vehicle, family car, what is the best way to get the lowest cost per mile during the course of time when you would own a vehicle? As an example, is it best to buy a new vehicle and then every 3 years trade in that vehicle, thinking you're getting the best trade-in value, and then put so many miles on over that three-year period of time? Or is it better to get a good used vehicle and then maintain it and keep it maintained and, for lack of a better term, drive the wheels off it? And yeah, then after that period of time, would that be a lower cost per mile? I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we're in an unusual period right now where used cars are particularly high. I think we'll start to see that come back down as the new car inventories grow, largely driven by the constraints we had during the pandemic and chip shortages. But we're seeing those inventories building, and that's going to bring used car prices down. You know, as the former host of this program, Howard Dayton, my friend, likes to say the cheapest car to drive is the one you already own. And he agrees with you. He buys them used and drives them till the wheels fall off. You know, the general rule is you want to identify a car that meets your needs. And that could be if you can afford a new car or a late model car. You know, typically, I think the most bang for your buck, if you will, is a 2 to 3 year old car. Now, some folks are having to push that to 4+ years just because of where used prices, car prices are right now. But I would say a late model used car, just because you're missing a good bit of that depreciation that happens in those first couple of years, you're able to kind of skip that, if you will, and then pay as much down as you can and drive it for as long as you can. The key is keep up with the vehicle maintenance. That's going to keep the cost per mile down, and try to bundle your trips. So make the most of every trip to keep the mileage low. But, you know, I think that is always going to be your best option. The good news is the way cars are built these days, if they are maintained properly, you know, you should be able to get 250,000 miles out of a car that's, you know, good quality and reliable. That's what we had on our last car that we, in a sense, turned in when we replaced it. And I think that's always going to be your best option. So I would say buy a used late model car, maintain it well, make sure you have it checked out by an independent mechanic before you purchase it, and then drive it until the wheels fall off. And that is going to keep your cost per mile the lowest it possibly can be. We appreciate you checking speaking with us, Tom. God bless you, my friend. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Jerry Boyer with us in the next segment, plus more of your questions when we hear from you again. 800-525-7000, plus an email. This one comes from Harvey. I'll weigh in on this one in the next segment. Harvey's wondering how they can contribute, do some giving anonymously, and still have a record of their giving for income tax purposes. It's a great question, Harvey, and there is absolutely a way to do it. You can give anonymously and still have a record of that contribution for income tax purposes. I'll tell you how you can do that in our next segment, and perhaps in certain cases where you just don't want that given in your name, and that does happen, this can be a great option for it. I'll tell you how to do it just around the corner. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Jan Markell with Understanding the Times Radio. Won't you join me this weekend as I help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become a watchman on the wall? I hope you'll join me each week as we do that together right here on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions here in this final segment. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, it's Friday, which means our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist at the Christian Post, and he joins us with his commentary each week here on the broadcast. Jerry, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. Payrolls and wages blew past expectations. That would normally be good, but not so much, huh? Because that means the Fed taking their foot off the gas pedal may be in jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. So again, we're in this weird world where good news in the economy is bad news in markets and vice versa. So why is that the case? Just to recap, the largest investor in markets now, this is not historically the case, but in our modern world, this is the case. The largest investor in markets is our own central bank. So when it buys, it's the biggest buyer. And when it sells, it's the biggest seller. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is it has under law a dual mandate. It has two different goals that it's supposed to go after. The problem is those goals contradict one another. So it can't do one and the other at the same time. So it either loves the one and hates the other, or hates the one and loves the other. It has to switch back and forth between the two masters. And one of them is, hey, if inflation's high, we need to do something about that. We need to tighten the money supply and drive up unemployment. so that workers won't have leverage anymore and they won't be increasing the cost of the economy. That's one mandate. The other mandate is, well, if we have too much unemployment, that's bad for the economy. It'll slow down. We need to go out there and create some inflation so that people won't save because they lose money by saving, the money's losing value, and we're going to get them to go out there and spend. So they have these contradictory mandates, and they switch back and forth. So most of the week has been the idea that the Fed is going to be, a little bit tougher, right? Tougher on inflation. That's the markets were performing well. But this morning, we got better than expected jobs numbers. Better than expected jobs numbers. Well, that means these workers are going to have some leverage, and that's going to drive inflation. So the Fed's going to have to pull money out of the systems because we can't have these workers getting too much leverage in the labor situation. So what happened is everything that happened earlier in the week reversed because it was good news, and good news in the economy is bad news for markets because the economy responds to good economic news by saying, okay, economy's okay. We can switch back to our inflation fighting mandate.
Yes. Well, it's so true. And yet, Jerry, what we see right now is that, the all-time high of the Dow Jones was, I think, 36,500. And yet here we are back north of 34,000 on the Dow Jones, which means there's been some real strength as of late. Is that a signal as to what might be to come once we see that the Fed is done?
What I like to do is I like to look at the different markets compared to one another. So some of the Dow strength has been the idea that, maybe the Fed, realizes that they went too far or something like that, and they'll put money into the system. So what I like to do is focus on how growth-sensitive things do compared to non-growth-sensitive. The NASDAQ, for example, tech companies, tends to be a little bit more growth-sensitive. It's hard to tell when the market is going up. Is it going up because the economy is getting better and investors see that coming? Or is it going up because the Fed is a buyer? Mostly what we've seen is that the goings down and goings up have been almost entirely driven by the Fed's activity. If you want to know what it says about what the economy is doing, then you have to compare what's going up compared to what isn't going up. Like bonds are considered a recession hedge. So if bonds are doing well, that actually means the market thinks that the economy is going to slow down. What we've seen is that most of this year has been signaling a pretty significant recession, but that's been reversed a little bit lately. So I think that's kind of where we are. And also, the Fed politics are becoming important. We have a faction emerging on the Fed, which is led by a Biden appointee, which is very much in the pro-inflation camp. And as of yesterday, my old nemesis, I used to debate him on CNBC, Austin Goolsbee, from the University of Chicago, was announced he's going to be appointed as a voting member. He's going to be the head of the Chicago Fed, and he's a pro-inflation guy. So people who think that the Fed is just run by experts with PhDs who are just following the models are naive. Politics and power and self-interest are everywhere. The Fed was created with the idea of we're just going to have expert people and we're going to assume their good intentions and politics won't be any part of it. And what we're finding out now is that these expert boards like the Fed are every bit as much political as everything else in life.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, that's really helpful, Jerry, as we think about where all of this is headed. Let's turn the corner just quickly before we wrap up today. I know you'll be joining us right before Christmas to talk about the Christmas story, economically speaking. I'd love for you to preview that. I'm really excited about the conversation we'll have later this month.
Well, I think one of the most important things, I mean, if we're going to go like core Christmas, is Bethlehem, right? Where Jesus was born, Bethlehem, the house of bread. Every city you read about in the New Testament is a city that has an economy. So Capernaum, Bethsaida, right? Those were fisheries. And you can see that from the accounts. It's there. Jesus is recruiting fishermen. And there's an appropriateness, to those cities. Those details matter. So what was the economy of Bethlehem? And does that have relevance for Christmas? Well, you can tell from the account it was a shepherding economy, but that doesn't tell you the whole story. What sheep were bred in Bethlehem? the sheep that were being bred for the sacrificial system for the temple. That's why Bethlehem is near Jerusalem, and it has a gate, Migdal Adar, that is kind of at the edge. So they would have marched the sheep over that. They would go through that gate, and they'd be inspected on the way. Are they temple worthy? And then they'd be marched to the temple. So the Lamb of God, who was born to bear away the sins of the world, was actually born in the city whose economy was based on bearing lambs of God to go to the temple and bear the sins of the world.
I love it. Well, there's no question. There was a lot of interesting things going on in the background of the Christmas story, and a lot of those were related to the economic system of the day. It'll be a lot of fun, Jerry, as we talk about that, heading up to Christmas and perhaps looking at a different side of the Christmas story than we're used to. Hey, thanks for stopping by, my friend. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research. He's active on social media. You can also find his insightful columns at the Christian Post. All right. Back to the phones we go. Judith, you're next on the program. Go ahead. How can I help you?
Thank you so much. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your ministry that's biblically based. I have shared it with so many people, and I just thank you that you're just available to the world to learn how to do their finances. My question today is, what book do you recommend for a second year college student? He hasn't really had access to much money, but I want to get him on the right track. I know it's never too early, and I feel like this is a little late, but what is your recommendation?
Oh, it's a great question, Judith, and thank you for your kind remarks. I'll send you a copy of the book that I would recommend he start with. It's called Your Money Counts, and it's by my good friend Howard Dayton, Bible teacher and author, former host of this program. Howard and Larry Burkett and Ron Blue are some of the fathers, if you will, of modern personal finance from a biblical perspective, and have done so much to bring, you know, just insight and really a spotlight on these biblical principles related to money that we find in God's Word. And Your Money Counts will be an easy read for him, Judith. But what it will do is allow him to understand not only the financial literacy side of why it's important to save and invest and avoid debt and have a spending plan, but also the biblical perspective, starting with the idea that God owns it all, which really is a fundamental game changer when it comes to our money management. When we realize that God, the creator of the universe, owns and controls everything, and that he entrusts to us a portion of his resources to manage and to be found faithful, that really changes everything with regard to how we should approach our finances. And, you know, when we accept our role as steward and we see money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and the way we handle it is really the most tangible evidence of how we work out our values and priorities as a Christ follower, that really is a fundamental idea that you're not going to hear really anywhere else, certainly not in the world. So, Judith, if you stay on the line, we'll get your information. I'll get that book out to you. Maybe you can wrap it up for Christmas and give it to him as a gift from you, but we'll send it to you as a complimentary tool for you, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, and God bless your day, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you, Judith, and to you as well. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. Man, we've covered a lot of ground. Appreciate so much Jerry being with us, your emails, your calls. It's always a joy each morning to come alongside you and just together see how we can find the heart of God as it relates to how we manage his money, recognizing he owns it all, we're his manager, and money's a tool to accomplish his purposes. And, you know, here's the other reality is that our financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey. You know, think about that. You know, the late Larry Burkett used to say that money, or the way we handle it, is one of the clearest indicators into what's going on in our lives spiritually. It's really how we work out where we've placed our trust and what's important to us. It tells a story about all of that. The question is, are we taking our cues from the world, building our own mini kingdoms, or are we connecting into God's kingdom with an eternal perspective? That's really where we need to live each day. Well, folks, I want to say thank to my team today. Jim Henry providing great research today. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer, and grateful for Pat Montague and the amazing work she does handling all of our phone calls. Thank you for being along with us as well. Here at the end of the year, if you'd consider a gift to the ministry of any amount, out, we would certainly be grateful, and we could use it as we press toward year end. Just head to moneywise.org, click Give Now at the top of the page, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.